Let's declare the word of God. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, the word of God is coming forth this evening. It is the oil of God for me. It's pouring the life of God into me. Say, like you believe it, it's pouring the ability of God into me. And I'm succeeding by it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now declare this like you believe it. Say, I receive direction. I receive counsel. I receive direction. I know what to do. I make the right choices. By the entrance of the word of God. I make the right choices by the entrance of the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, quickly, let's get into the business of today. Now, I want us to continue something. Let's just, remember, it's our school of prayer, and we are dealing with the power to possess the land. On our kingdom teaching series on Saturdays, we have been talking about going and possess the land. And we have been saying that what God is doing is to empower us, because success in life, victory in life, is by the grace of God. It is not by human ability. It's not that we are not here to teach steps. You know, sometimes you've heard me say this many times. People will tell you these are the principles that even unbelievers use. And I say, once I hear that, I say I'm not interested. It is no longer a Christian principle, because the weapons of our warfare are only mighty through God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Everything we are going to achieve in life must be through the power of God. He said it has to be by grace, by faith, that it might be in accordance with grace. If it is not by faith, it is not in accordance with grace. If you are an unbeliever, you cannot have the faith to provoke that grace. Grace is God's power that is manifested for you to get results in life. And that's what we are dealing with here, actually. We are learning how to activate that grace so that the power of God can flow. Remember what I said to us the other time? Grace is not just an unmerited favor. I don't know what happened. No. Grace is when God's power manifests. And, you know, there was something I tweeted something today. Of course, based on what we said last time. That is, grace, people say, I don't know what happened. We just thank God for grace. I said, no. That's not grace like that. Grace is manifested like this. Grace makes you 10 times better. Are you getting my point? Daniel didn't get into the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar because Nebuchadnezzar just looked at him and said, you look handsome like a Jewish boy. I heard that your great-grandfather has a covenant with God. I like that covenant. No, didn't care who his God was. When he tested him, he found him 10 times better than the other boys. That's what grace does. Grace makes you 10 times better. Are you getting my point? Grace makes you excellent. Grace puts skill in your hands. Let me say that again, because it's very important. When Christians talk sometimes, they think grace means, I won't know what happened, I'll suddenly become a rich man. Grace means, I become good at what I'm doing. Grace means that if I do something with my hand, somebody will look and say, you did this? Where did you get this skill from? Grace means that I will do work that people will queue up to. That is, I become a teacher. It's not that I don't know what happened. Are you getting my point? Grace is God empowering me. People who go to school, all right, maybe for 5-10 years to become good with something. I know it instinctively. I like the story of R.G. Lotono. Mover of Men and Mountains. You know, I've discussed it here and there. The man calls himself a self-taught engineer. Grace worked in him. He was a designer of machines. He just used to have ideas. He would sit down. He was not formally educated as a mechanical engineer, even though he's educated to some extent. All right? But he just had interest. He loved machines. In fact, you know, when his wife says he's working too much, he said, no, I'm not working. I'm playing. That's what he says. I'm not working, I'm playing. These are just my toys. His toys are earth-moving equipment. He invented one massive, I've forgotten the name he called it, but it was like a, something like like a forest eater. It has a name, something like that. I can't remember the name. Literally, it will enter into thick forest and leave behind it smooth land. It will knock the tree down, chew it up, and throw it behind as dust. Many of the oil rigs, I think it was one of the pioneers of floating oil rigs that you use on top of water. Only him built, I think, half of the tanks that America used in the Second World War. It wasn't a small, look, the man, yet he did not go to school formally to learn to be a mechanical engineer. Like, I told you a story of something that happened once. He went to church, they had some issues in church, you know, some program or stuff. Then when he got back home, he was tired. He went home to go and sleep around 11 o'clock or so. As his head hit the bed, the pillow, an idea dropped in his head. He jumped up again, ran to his study, and started sketching the next machine they are going to build. He started drawing it, you know. By the time he finished, next day he went to work, and then gave his sketches to his trained engineers. Those ones now started looking at it, trying to decode it into proper engineering drawings. That's what they call grace. I hope you're getting my point. That's what they call grace. It's not grace that I was just going on the road, the machine just grew, praise God, and I drove it home, and I made 10,000 of it, and now I'm a rich man. No. God can do miracles for you, like I said before. You don't know anything, you go for an exam, and you pass. Once he's finished doing it, you know what you do? Collect the certificate, just keep quiet. Don't tell anybody. He said, how many of you passed? Put up your hand. You want to give a testimony? He said, the Lord said, I should tell no man. There are things he does. He says, see that you tell no man. Go and read the story I've told many times. Ben Carson's story of when he had a crisis in his, you know, in his education. And God gave him a vision. And with that vision, he passed the exam. I like one thing the man said at the end of the day. He said, after that, he passed. He went back home and promised God never to put him in that kind of situation again. That, God, I won't do this to you again. But as a student, I will have to put you in a tight corner where you have to give me a revelation last moment to be able to pass my exam. Please, I'm sorry I did that to you. I won't do it again. That's a man who understood what grace is supposed to be. Grace is not supposed to make you lazy. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his power, which is his grace, working towards me, did not prove vain. Why? You see, that grace ignited me, and I worked more than them all. You see the product of my life. That's grace. Grace is not that me, I just like to sleep. And I wake up, things just move. That's not grace. Grace means that if I love to sleep before, I've put my sleep in the proper place. I wake up at the right time. Everything has a season. I do my work. It doesn't mean I work physically more than other people because it's a vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. But while I'm working, what I'm doing is skilled. I am better than the other Babylonian boys. My ability to understand the markets is better than that of the man who has a degree in economics. My ability, do you follow? Let me give you an example. Now, this is not bragging, all right? But I have to use myself as an example. Amen? I have a grace, all right, is to teach the scriptures. And if you are going to be a teacher, the grace comes in two levels. The second level is the speaking side. The first level is the understanding side. It's not just when you come, you start opening your mouth and anything that comes forth, all right? That's prophecy. It's different. Now, I tell my wife when I discuss, I say, look, anytime I pick the Bible, all I need to do is just read it. I must understand something. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. The other day, I picked the book of Ecclesiastes. Good enough, I learned how to use the Bible app, the one that's on my tab and on my phone. I learned how to use it properly. So that's, for me, so excellent. So I take my notes on it, and as soon as I take the notes, it's automatically backed up to their server. So if I put on my tab, all the notes I made on my phone will just drop to it, all right? I just picked Ecclesiastes and started reading. Every verse had a long commentary. Every verse. I was telling my wife, look at this. It's as if Ecclesiastes was saying that, where did you go? I was sent to give you understanding. You've not had my time for a long time. I told myself, sometime next year, I have to teach from there. Just take, you know, we've not done school of Bible exegesis for a long time. Just take the book of Ecclesiastes and start looking at it. Now, I'm going somewhere. I've not even reached where I'm going. Now, when I was in my youth service, that was many years ago. I did my youth service in Taraba State, 92 into 93. I had a friend, because when I was serving in the barracks, he's a copper, sorry, we call him pastor. He has a degree in theology. So he and I, because he was a Christian, we became closer than the other coppers, because most of them were not believers. So he was a Christian. So we have a lot of chats. I still remember the day we're in his room and we're talking. So something about, he read something in Genesis chapter 1, and I gave him a line in Hebrew. I don't know what I get the point. He looked, he sat up. Where did he hear that from? I said, what is it? We read this, no big book. His book now. We used to have a lot of discussions on Bible things. Now, this is not the gist. After we finished NYC, he wrote me a letter. And he said that, oh boy, that you challenged me to read the Bible. Now, he had the degree in theology. I went to do my NYC with a Bachelor of Medicine and Bachelor of Surgery. He had a degree in theology. And he wrote me at the end that, oh boy, you made me get up to go and read the Bible. I threw a challenge for him. Why? We used to talk a lot, you know. When the man would be talking sometimes, because he did these courses he took in school. Textual criticism, higher criticism. You know, talk about the German school of theology and stuff like that. And we'll be arguing. I don't know whether you get my point. And he had the degree in theology. So by the time we're done, the boy said, oh boy, I have to show something that you were in school learning physiology and anatomy by chemistry. Pediatrics, obstetrics and gynecology. I was there reading this thing. Then you are coming to talk like this. He said, he went back home and said, no, this guy. Somebody say grace. That is what grace does for you. It's not inherent ability. I don't think it's inherent ability. It's just because of a call. All right? So when I was in university, I read both of them. I read my medicine and I read my Bible. I read Bible commentaries. Now, my wife asked me, that was about on Saturday, I was still lying down in the morning. My wife came and said, please. She was studying the Bible in the sitting room. She now entered the room, asked me a question about what Jesus said when he said that which the sons of this world are wiser, you know, than the... You remember it now. So that one, when he said that, make for yourself friends with money that then they will receive into eternal habitations and stuff like that. So my wife, of course, if you read that portion, I'm not discussing it today, there's a very good answer for it. So my wife just came into the room, I was lying down and said that, please, can you explain that? This is, of course, if you read it, it's a bit confusing. That as I see Jesus telling you, use money to make friends who will receive you into eternal habitations. It's confusing. Most people can't relate with it. And, you know, you use the Bible to interpret the Bible. You know, you must use scriptures to interpret scripture. You can't, if every other portion of the Bible says go to the left and one says go to the right, look at that one critically. Say, where were you when everybody was going to the left? And I've studied this thing for a long time, okay? And I found out that most of the time, if you look closely enough, you will find a good explanation, all right? Now, what I'm telling you, so as soon as she just told me that, I just said, get my companion Bible. I was lying down. I had not even gotten up. I said, get my companion Bible. She said, which one? I said, it should be on the floor near the bed. Check on that there. I've not used it in a long time, but I knew where it was. So she went through the pile of stuff there and brought the thing out. She had to go out and go and clean it. It was full of dust. So I said, okay, open to that area. I just showed her, see those tiny, tiny comments. Go back to, I was showing her how to use the Bible. Believe me, it had to. She was looking at it like this. She couldn't see what was inside. I had to sit up and say, come, this is how you use it. It's called Companion Bible by Bollinger. Now that Bible, it taught me a lot of things. That's the only person I ever saw that analyzed that place properly and explained it. I bought that Bible in 1992. That particular one that my wife was holding, I bought in 1992. And it cost me more than one-third of my month's salary at that time. One-third of my month's salary then went into that Bible. I remember the day they delivered it, there was one of our sisters that was staying in Abba, and they used to sell, buy books from Abba, so she was going to help me buy it. So, the day I received it, I was so happy. One of the other coppers was there. And he said, they used to call me Blackie. He said, ah, Blackie. You know why they call him Blackie? You think it's obvious. It's not really obvious. It's not obvious. I'll tell you. It's because there was a musician that time called Blackie. There was this Nigerian reggae musician. I don't know. Those of you remember him. Blackie, yes. It was of him they used to call me Blackie, of course. You cannot work out the rest. So he said, Blackie. That was happening. I said, I was feeling so happy. I was fetching water that day. So he said, what's going on? I told him that they just delivered my Bible. So he looked at me. In the course of discussion, he found out how much I paid for it. That was 1/3 of a whole month's earning. I don't know where I get the point. I bought a Bible for 1/3 of what I was earning as a house officer. He looked at me and said, Blackie, sorry to say it to you. Bless you, don't be crazy. So. He's a worried boy, you understand? That's how he to speak pidgin. He said, sorry, I'm sorry to say it like this, so, but bless you, don't begin crazy. One, the amount of money was alarming. I don't know whether I get the point. As long as I just got a new Bible, how much is it? Tell you, you are working in the same place. He knows how much you are earning. And you took 1/3, 30% of your salary or more to buy the Bible. On top of that, you are now rejoicing that, you get my point, the thing has come. The man decided that this must be a case of lunacy. That's the only thing to explain this behavior. Now, that's the kind of thing I did then, all right? So when my wife asked that question that day, I'd read that thing before. I just said, get that Bible. The Bible is still in my house, all right? And she brought it out until I opened to it. Now, that's, I'm talking about grace. Remember, that's what I'm talking about. The grace to preach the gospel. It didn't make me, you know, just sit down. I just wake up. Once I just stand up, you start getting blessed. It didn't start with that, too. That grace gave me interest. It made me spend money. Once I was in Lagos, I was engaged to my wife then. But we're not married yet, so we used to talk on the phone. So she called one day, and then things were tough because we were on strike for a long period, and there were no salaries, okay, throughout the strike period. And I was really broke. That's the brokest I've been in my life. You know, if you are broke for 2 days, that's not broke, you understand? When you are broke for 3 months, stretch, you know, at a stretch, there's a problem. Are you getting my point? There is a problem. So one of those days, she now said, I was today, and I said that I went out and I bought 2 books. Both of them are here now. One of them is called The Complete Works of Josephus, and the other one is The Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Now, it's not the book that's the issue. It's the fact that I was broke. I had to go and borrow 5,000 naira to buy the books. Even this wife that married me now, she said, I still remember her words that day. She said, I don't have words for you. I don't have words for you. Because she couldn't understand. I know this guy is flat broke. She actually offered to send me money one day. And I felt like, send me money, why? I mean, you're just leaving school. I'm working. How will I get the money? So I said, okay, she'll go and give it to a driver. A Degbe Motors driver. And I'll go to the park. And my mind, listen, let me just die in the will of God. Not the woman I want to marry. It wasn't like it was a bad thing. Just that I was like, what? No, I said, thank you. No, thank you. Because I've always been known for it. I say things openly. I don't hide anything. So the next time we now spoke, and I said, you didn't borrow money to eat. You didn't borrow money to do anything serious. You now went to borrow money to buy 2 books. Now, I'm talking about grace. That's the kind of thing grace does for you. You get my point. It affects the way you behave. You know, if you see that I'm teaching today, I'm teaching the scriptures, I tell you, you know, it's not just, there's inspiration, amen, there's inspiration, but the grace first breathed on one aspect, gave me understanding. And this is how it did it, you know, kindled interest. I spend money on things other people wouldn't spend money on. I will spend money on it. If they say, okay, well, let's go and play, and let's go and listen, somebody's coming to preach, I will leave the play and go and listen to the teaching of the word of God. Give me insight. That's the result of grace. Now, I'm a preacher, so it's nice to hear you to say it sounds appropriate. But it's not only preachers, you understand? That's how it is for the whole of life. As a businessman, that's what God will do for you also. You pick books of men who have succeeded with the knowledge of righteousness.
You read it and you'll be seeing things other people are not seeing inside it. That's what grace does for you. Grace makes you excellent. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Grace makes you excellent. Before you even begin to manifest outwardly, grace will already have produced something strong inside you. When you talk, listen, I want to digress a bit. Yeah, he's a single woman, a man is chasing you, he wants to marry. Please stop looking at what he's driving or what he's not driving. Stop looking at what he's wearing or what he's not wearing. Close your eyes and open your ears. Hear him talk. You know a man who will succeed and the one that's already failed. Hear him talk. His talk. Let him just close your eyes. Close your nose. Yeah, you may not have nice perfume. That's the idea. Then open your ears and let him talk. There's a book I was supposed to work on. I started it, but I've abandoned it for a while. It's supposed to be a second part to Should I Say Yes? It's titled I Need to Know. Are you getting my point? See, it's when a man, when he's talking, from, now listen, God will give you understanding, amen?
Amen.
You know, with God giving you understanding, you know a man who's lying. Like one of my friends told me that one guy wanted to marry. He didn't have a house of his own that he was staying. They say, why no? Why? How come you've not rented your own house? He said, I know they like to rent. I like to build. You should know that guy is a thief. Yeah. True story. I don't want rent. Small, young boy. You can't pay rent. You can build. So it's the girl that's marrying him that I feel sorry for. That is, no, sorry. She's a mugu. He's not a mugu. He's a con man. The man not get a house where they stay. Why you never move to your own house? Just squawk with a friend. He say, I don't like to rent. I like to build. So it's one or two. Either I squat or I build. It would have been even better if the guy said, man, okay, don't worry. I'm trying to gather some money. Right now, the money never completes. Is that not good? I mean, That's life. So that just, by the way, the point I'm making is that it's when somebody is talking. All right, you will see the conviction in the soul with which this man opens his mouth and talks. That's when you know it's a man that's going somewhere. That's when you know. Why I brought up that issue is that grace bursts something inside you. You get my point? A deep conviction that, you know, I said it before. When David saw Goliath, he did not doubt that he was taking Goliath down. He didn't doubt it. He knew it for sure. He didn't come and say, let me die for my God. No. Is this, I will kill this uncircumcised Philistine for his own God. As small as he was compared to that fellow, grace had given him the technology by which he was going to bring him down. What am I trying to say? Grace makes you excellent. Despite your certificate or lack of it. Grace is that thing that makes you better than people that are physically more qualified. Grace is where you will stand like this. A well-trained electrical engineer will stand there. And they will say, this boy is an electrician. You know the electrician? He learned it following his boss around. But we prefer him to wire a skyscraper. Because by sitting down, he has learned. He's speaking the language. He said, no, that cable, we need to transmit about... we need to transmit about 50 kilowatts of energy to the top floor. This cable can't handle it, the dimension. And they're looking at her. But you said this boy is not... he has read. Grace has given him understanding, taught him the knowledge, connected him with the reality of the moment. That's what grace does. What I've just said, grace makes you what? Excellent. That's what I'm trying to explain. Grace makes you excellent. It is not grace that, I just went for that exam, I didn't know anything. I don't know, and I still pass. The Lord is good. No. It is that when you went in there, you opened your mouth, they realized that you may not have gone to the schools that the other people went to, but you have found to be 10 times better. I hope you're getting my point. Grace makes you able to do. That's what we are saying. Grace makes you able to do. Anybody that relates with the man, the woman whose life is powered by grace, all right, feels the ability in that fellow. You people have confidence in your work. That's what grace is. Please teach this to every Christian you know. When you see a man, you know, one of our brothers does this in school. I knew him, but I didn't know when he did this misbehavior. What happened was he was a law student. In the morning, everybody will be going to class. He'll be laughing. Why is he laughing? He said, all of you are relying on the arm of flesh. A student in a university, laughing at his roommates who are going to lectures. Why? Because he does not need the arm of flesh to pass. There are things God can do, but he will refuse to do. Yeah. You know, God can rain manna for all of us right now. But he said, no, I'm not going to rain manna. All of you will go and work, you earn money, you go to the market. The young man refused to go to class. What's his logic? I work my face and now my shine. Christians do it till today. I'm working my face and I'm working my shine. Listen, every season in life has its assignment. That's what I keep on saying. That's how you balance it. If you're in school, you're supposed to go to lectures. God could make you pass without you going for lectures, but he won't do it because he's encouraging bad behavior. And one thing, like I tell my wife, is you're raising children as an example, you would never encourage bad behavior. A child throws a tantrum to get something, he must never get it. Ask my children, they know. They've never cried to receive anything. When you cry in my house, you receive punishment. So my children don't invest crying in getting anything. It's a bad investment. I see parents sometimes say, give in, give in, so you can stop. My children, they never had that privilege. The only thing you're allowed to cry for and get was when you could not talk, and the only language to tell us you are hungry is cry. Is meh, meh. You get the breast, fine. Once you grow beyond that, once you can open your mouth and pronounce something and make specific requests, crying is out of it. Tantrum side, no, I don't encourage. And that, like I said, that's just by the way. Okay, that's by the way. God also does not encourage bad behavior. A student is supposed to go to class. When you make go in refusal to go a habit, he will not encourage it and make you pass by faith. You don't read your book, you just use faith to pass you. He won't. Not because he can't, but why should I encourage bad behavior? So our brother, when the result came out, he failed from the beginning to the end. And the word of God came alive to him. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, I obey your word. After that, I became a diligent student. Faith does not mean you shouldn't do the work you are supposed to do. Grace, like I was saying, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Grace makes you excellent. What grace will have done for him is he will go to class. He will have read the subject ahead. As the teacher is teaching, he's absorbing fast, fast, fast. When the teacher makes a mistake, he puts up his hand and says, excuse me, sir, I have a small problem here. You said this, this, and that. Shouldn't it have been this, like this? Go and read your Bible well. When Jesus went, when he was in the temple, he was not teaching those men. He was asking questions. The questions were so deep, the men had to search to be able to answer him. That's what grace does. You go in there, you're in the lecture, you ask some questions, the people will be wondering, this boy, are you sure you are in 100 level like everybody else? These are questions that I expect from people who are in their fourth year. Grace doesn't put you in hostel. You don't read, don't do anything, expect to pass. No, grace makes you excellent. I hope you are clear. Any work you do, let me just say something. How you know you are going to succeed? Somebody say amen. You are succeeded already. Somebody say amen. The first manifestation of your success is not the money you get. The first manifestation is when people start talking about the excellence with which you do what you do. Once people start coming and say, look at the work you did, I don't like it too. In a day you have 10 customers, 6 come back with that kind of talk. You have succeeded in life, amen? Say amen now, say amen. You will succeed in life, amen? But the time hasn't come for the manifestation. That's what I'm getting to. God says, oh boy, okay, go and improve. The sign that grace is really working is that when you're done, people say, who did this one? You did it with your hand. You cut this line with your hand, not a machine. Then you know that, yes, the glory of God is being revealed. I'm saying it again. Grace makes you excellent. Let's get back to my main message for today. I mean, that's just because it's a school of prayer. That one is the thing we'll discuss on Saturdays. But that's just explaining what grace is. We are supposed to be talking today about how to tap into it. How to activate that grace. Grace must be activated. This is what we have as our heritage, our benefits, our privilege as believers. We are able to activate grace. You are doing something. Everybody is doing it one way. You know it can be done better. You want to know how to do it better. You activate grace. It's not inherent ability. It is a grace. Go and read the story of Bezalel. God said, I put in him the spirit of the craftsman. It was God that endowed him. So that when Bezalel is working with gold, everybody will stare. When he's working with silver, when he's carving anything, he used to do the work of an excellent craftsman. And the Bible says, God was speaking, he said, I was the one that placed upon him that excellent spirit. That is what we need to do, is activate it. It's our privilege as believers. Let me read two scriptures to explain what I'm going to say today. But that's the basis for the prayers we are praying, or how we are going to pray. Remember we said, it is not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of God. We read that from Zechariah chapter 4. Alright? And then, you know, remember, because of time now, I'm watching my time, I've spoken quite at length, and we've not gone to the main thing we want to do. Remember that Zechariah saw two olive trees feeding the lampstand. And he said, this is the word of God to Zerubbabel. And we said that, what are those two olive trees? He said, they are the anointed ones, the sons of oil. That these are the ones who pour forth oil. That's why I keep on emphasizing the sons of oil. That's literal Hebrew. That is, their job is to deliver oil. He said, the two of them stand before the God of the whole earth. And what is their job? They are feeding the children of God, who are the light of the world, with the anointing to excel. They are feeding the children of God, who are the light of the world, who show forth the excellencies. The Bible says that we have been called to show his excellencies. And he said, arise, shine, for your light has come. That is, when we shine, what that means is that we are showing forth the excellencies of God in all that we are doing. How does it come to be? It is by the infusion of the oil. We shine by burning the oil of God. And that oil comes forth by prophesying. That's what we're emphasizing. The oil comes into your life by the prophesying of the word of God. It does not come by your labor. It comes by prophesying. My interpretation of that, even though it can have other applications, somebody may study it more and find something maybe even more accurate. There are levels of accuracy. But the way I saw it, the one that happened in the life of Zerubbabel, is that there were two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, and they were prophesying to those men who were walking. Let's open this Bible, our Bible, to this particular portion. The book of Ezra, chapter 6. I want to just read one scripture there to see what those two sons of oil, what they are. Because of time, I just get to the verse that I want, all right? We don't have so much time left. Okay, let's just read a bit of context from verse 13. Then Tatanai, the governor of the province beyond the river, Shetar Bozenai, very funny, interesting names, all right? And their colleagues carried out the decree with all diligence, just as King Darius had sent. Now, verse 14 is where I actually want. And the elders of the Jews were successful in building, through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they finished according to the command of God, of the God of Israel, and the decree of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now, please notice this. The elders of the Jews were successful in building. How? What was the mechanism? Was it by their labor? No. Was it by their strength? No. That's what Zechariah was saying. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. How does the spirit come? He said it came through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Edo. That is, these people, when they uttered words, those words fired the people. It put a spirit inside them. Read the Bible well. Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me, and that Spirit set me on my feet. That Spirit enters into you and makes you excellent. That Spirit enters into you and removes tiredness from your system. It refires you when you thought you should have been tired. When everybody's running away on holiday, all right, because they want to go and see fine places, you just find out that the ability to walk, the ability to use more time than they are using, all right, comes into you. The tiredness that many people will have felt, you are not feeling it. Why? Because the Spirit is coming into you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That's how it is. This is the success of the child of God. It is by the prophesying of the prophets. But there's something I want to emphasize, which is very important. Paul says something to Timothy. He said that there is a... Okay, let's just read that also. Very important. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because there are two levels of prophesying. God will say to John, you must prophesy again. That is that prophesying has two levels. First time you hear a word, it is good, you have received it. But that word can lie dormant until you learn to take the words, do you understand, and use them in the second level of prophesying. It's very important. God will tell John, come and see the things that are going to take place. John will see them. You now say, okay, now go and prophesy. That is, I first showed it to you. That's the first level. That is the second level. You have to declare those things into the earth. There's another way of looking at it. I'm speaking the word to you. I've been deputized, all right, to impart the Spirit of God into you concerning success in life, concerning the ability to take your own inheritance, concerning the ability to bring down giants. That is the first level. So I'm prophesying, I'm impacting a spiritual gift. But sometimes people receive spiritual gifts and they lie dormant. Now let's read the scripture. You see what I'm trying to explain here. Remember, I'm trying to emphasize to us that it is not our strength. It is what? The work of the anointing, the oil of God that comes through the entrance of his word. These men succeeded because two men were prophesying to them. And I believe those are the ones that stood for those two olive trees. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at one thing that Paul wrote to Timothy here. In verse 18. He said, this command I entrust to you, Timothy my son, in accordance with the prophecies, level 1. Notice that. In accordance with level 1 prophecies previously made concerning you. Do you get the way I read it like that? That is, in accordance with 1, the prophecies made concerning you, so that by them you might fight the good fight. That's level 2. That is, the word has been sent to him. He's now supposed to take the words and use them to fight. That is, you've been coming around. You've been hearing me teach. You've heard other ministers teach. People have given you insight into the word of God. You have picked the Bible and the Spirit has breathed upon it. And some words have leapt off from the pages into your life. That is level 1 prophecy. Now, but then for it to be effective, Paul wrote to Timothy, you must activate that grace. I'm adding my own words now. Why? How? By using the prophecies to fight a good fight. That's my message for today. What do? We use the word of God. Because we say that we succeed not by our strength, but by the oil of God. We are activated by taking those words of prophecy. Like now, maybe you're hearing me teach, to use me as an example, the words I have spoken. There are words that I will speak, they will just stick with you. And those words are supposed to be used to fight. Life is a fight. He said, go in and possess the land. Begin to contend, all right, with the kings there, with the nations there, and then take the land from them, which means it's a fight. You are going to, I give an example, you are going to have an idea to develop a business. I have many people in mind. If I have two people in mind right now, men who I won't mention names,